Hi there. Thanks for joining us as we unpack the series titled, This Is That. Have you ever wondered about the Holy Spirit? Well, this sermon is for you. Pastor Carl and Pastor Henry share an amazing word about the Holy Spirit, the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's dive in and gear up for Pentecost Sunday.
Well, happy Father's Day, everybody. Praise the Lord. All you dads, make sure you call Dad. Tell him it's awesome. If he's up in heaven, just say, hey, thanks, Dad. That's all good. Tell your Heavenly Father, I love you, I love you, I love you. Love you, love you. I want to help you out. I want to help you out because that's the kind of pastor I am. So you might be going to a barbecue today or doing something or seeing Dad, and I want to help you out. All right? I want to do something for you. So let me see if I can remember my password. Boom! I did it. All right, got a couple little quickies for you, right? You ready? You ready? What's Dad's favorite kind of music? Pop music. Dad loves pop music. Amen. Bob loves pop music, don't you, Bob? Pop. Larissa, what's he play? What's he got? Is he a country western guy? Is he really? God bless you, Bob. God bless you. Any other country western people in the house? Lord forgive you. All right. Amen. I love some. We should have some country western in the worship team. We should have a country western Sunday. Yeah. A good stomping going on. Get Krista really playing that fiddle for us. Some hardcore fiddle action. Hey. Woo! Felt some excitement in the room. What's Dad's favorite kind of music? Pop music there. Pop country. Oh my God, is there such a thing? All right, pop country. Okay, there is? Okay. What do you call a father who falls through the ice? Popsicle! Yes, sirree, Bob. Settle down. That was good. Laugh if you don't get it. Thank you very much. And you're looking really good today. You're looking smart today, Sean. I'll tell you, you're looking smart today. And I'll tell you, there's a desire in your heart just to the voice of God with great clarity and something that is fresh for today, a word for today that is from the throne room that'll pierce through the nonsense and bring clarity and truth. And you're dressed to kill. You're dressed to kill. You're going to kill lies and schemes and strategy enemy, and you're going to be able to articulate truth in a beautiful way, in a sweet way, in the Sean kind of way. And God's voice is going to be very clear to you. And you're going to be surprised by it in Jesus' name. Amen. That was just a commercial right in there. All right. What's the difference between a dad joke and a bad joke? We're very good. Well, there is something. It's the first letter. Bad and sad. All right. So it's the first. Who doesn't get that joke at all? All right. I got one more just for fun. One more just for fun. What do you call a father who is really good at grilling and barbecuing? What do you call that? And that's Mauricio. Mauricio has 5 grills in the backyard. And when you go there, a dinner is not a moment. It's a full-on event. Go be ready to eat massive amounts of meat. So what do you call a father who's a big person with the grill? You call him a meteorologist. Wow, tough crowd, eh? It's a tough crowd. So, had a young fella, he was a Bible college student. He got kind of sweet on a young lady. And the young lady belonged to a very, very affluent family, very affluent family. And she really took a liking to him. And so the parents said, you better bring this fella home. We better have dinner and see what's going on. So he came over for dinner and they sat and had dinner. And then mom leaned in and said, you better take him aside and find out what's going on with his life, because I think our daughter's really sweet on him. So we better find out what's going on with this fella. So he said, son, come, can you come with me? Come on over to my study. Let's just spend a little time together. And so we got him in the study and said, son, listen now. You know, looks like you're a little sweet on my wife there. But tell me, you know, providing for the family and doing those kind of things. Did I say sweet on the wife? Oh, that was another joke. Lord have mercy. Amen. Hey, let's close in prayer. Amen. You're sweet on my daughter. My God. So, but I want to know, you know, how are you gonna move forward in life? What are your plans? What do you got going? And he says, well, sir, I'm a Bible school student, and I'm gonna study the scriptures, and God will provide. And he went, oh, praise Jesus. Okay. He said, so you're going to live somewhere. You got dreams. You got hopes. You're going to have a home. You're going to provide that way and things like that. What are your hopes there? He says, sir, I want you to know, I'm a Bible school student, and I will study the scriptures, and God will provide. Okay, good. So I know my daughter would like to have children and things like that, so you see children in the future and, you know, providing for them and doing things like that. Now, how do you see that unfolding? How do you see those kind of things working out? What's your plan, you know, going down that direction? You know, how do you see that working out? He said, sir, I want you to know, I'm a Bible school student, and I will study the scriptures, and God will provide. And he went, oh boy. So he said, well, let's go join the ladies. And they went out, and his wife said, come here, what's going on? What do you have to say? He says, well, he's got no plan for a job. He's got no plan for where he's going to live. He's got no plan for providing for the family. She's like, what? He says, no, the good news is he thinks I'm God. Thank you, Jen. I appreciate that. So how many know you got some ammunition for the campfire tonight or whatever you're doing, the barbecue? Say, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, this is that. We're doing a this is that. We're still on this is that. We're going to be on this is that next week. And we're still doing that because this is that. Love talking about the work of the Holy Ghost. That's what we're doing. This is that, which was spoken by the prophet Joel. We want to see what was predicted long ago. We want to see that the things that we get to enjoy right now, they have a context. They have a place. They're there in the Word of God. They're things we need to unpack and enjoy. And the greatest gift that you can walk in right now personally is the Holy Spirit is your best friend. And he's with you every day. John 17:13 said, now I'm coming to you. And Jesus said, I'm coming to you. He told them, it's to your advantage that I go away because I'm going to send to you the Comforter. And he's going to come, the anointed one. The anointing is going to come to you, the person of the anointing, the present power of the anointing. And it's called the oil of joy. Ha! Jesus in his prayer and high priestly prayer said, Father, I'm done. I did everything. But now we gotta create that beautiful bride, that collection, that organization, the organism, the living body of Christ to carry out the work. And here's what he prayed for. He said, Father, I'm coming to you. And I say these things while I'm still in the world that they may experience my joy made full and complete and perfect within them, filling their hearts with my delight. Amen. Come on. Can I get a ha ha ha? Joy is a big deal. Honestly, the Lord would say to you that you understood the power of rejoicing. If you could see what it releases in your life, you would do it all the time. And that's why the apostle said, rejoice evermore, says the Lord. A little prophecy tucked in there for you in case you wouldn't listen to me. I'm telling you, it's a powerful, powerful thing to rejoice and be full of joy. Joy and intense, especially ecstatic, exultant happiness, the expression or manifestation of such feeling. 600 times in the Old Covenant, the Hebrew language, 27 words to express joy. Joy is a big deal. C.S. Lewis, I just love this quote. I'm going to read it again just because I am, because I get to, because I put it on here. So I'm reading it. But in this world, everything's upside down. That which, if it could be prolonged here, would be a truancy. It's like us that it would be better, a better country, that it's end in the end of ends. What he's saying is we've pushed joy to the margins. We've pushed joy to the edge. We get to go to picnics and have fun every once in a while, but that's not life. You know, that's just stuff that we get to do and enjoy. Every once in a while we dance. Every once in a while we laugh. Every once in a while we enjoy life. But the rest of it, we're doing the real serious stuff. But joy is in the margins. Joy shouldn't be in the margins. Joy should fill the page. And C.S. Lewis is saying joy is the serious business of heaven. If you want to say, Lord, as it is in heaven, then get ready to be full of laughter, full of joy, full of life. Because if you want it on earth as it is in heaven, you're going to get whacked with the presence of God. And in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. There really is. Get over yourself. Just embrace it and say, ha, ha, ha. Man, is he going to leave this thing alone? No, I'm not. Because it's a big deal. It's a big deal. 1 John 3:1 says, what marvelous love the Father. Say, Father. Father. What marvelous love the Father. Aren't you glad that he's revealed his Father? Aren't you glad that Jesus, he said, I'm really going to speak to you. I'm going to speak clearly to you. I was trying to, in the Old Covenant, the prophets and the law, I was trying to speak to you, speaking through vessels, but it wasn't clear. But in these last days, I'm speaking to you through my Son. And the Son revealed God. And here's what he said, our Father. Literally, Jesus, when he was in Gethsemane, he said, Abba, Daddy, oh, God, my Father. Jesus revealed to us that he is our heavenly Father. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? When you pray, do you say, Daddy, I'm coming in your wonderful name of your son, Jesus? You really should. You should know that he is your loving heavenly Father. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called the children of God. And then he says, and that's really what we are. He said, how awesome is this? How wonderful is it that he is our Father and we are the children of God? And then as he says it, as he writes it, he's so excited about what he just wrote. He says it again. And that's really the truth. We really are children of God. Do you know you're a child of God? Do you know that God is your loving Father? Do you know that he is nuts about you? Do you know that? Acts 2:33, being therefore lifted up. This is Peter praying at Pentecost, or actually preaching at Pentecost. He said, being therefore lifted up on high to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promised blessing. Say promised blessing. See, the Holy Spirit is the promised blessing of the Father. It was promised long ago that the Father would bless us. And the Holy Spirit is the promised blessing. And he has received from the Father, which he poured out. Jesus poured out and baptized us with the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. He has this made this outpouring. Say outpouring. Outpouring. Woo! Sorry about that. Just had to get that out. I'm expecting an outpouring, aren't you? This Holy Spirit, he has made this outpouring, which you now yourselves both see and hear. Amen. How many get sick of coming to church and just hearing stuff? I want to see some stuff. I want to be blown away. I want to taste and see. I want to see and experience the full measure of this glorious life. But it's the blessing of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the blessing of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the blessing of the Father. He poured out his Spirit upon us so that we can be supernaturally advantaged. Amen. I am supernaturally advantaged. Hallelujah. I am blessed by my Father. Amen. You remember Esau and Jacob? Remember that? The firstborn was going to get that double portion, that blessing from the Father. And Esau was hungry, came in, and Jacob was cooking up some really nice stew. He said, give me some stew. He said, give me your birthright. Whatever, you can have my birthright. Give me some stew. He despised his birthright. But Jacob said, man, if you're going to do that, I'm on. So then Jacob went in, disguised himself like Esau, and said, Esau gave me the birthright. I'm going to go get it from Dad. And Dad blessed him. Dad didn't know that it wasn't Esau, but he blessed him. And you know what? The blessing is given, and when it's given, it cannot be taken back. But the blessing is powerful. And see, Esau came then to get the blessing. He said, I don't know who that was, smelled like you, sounded like you. But he says, I've given the blessing, and I can't take it back. And he wept, and he was broken, because when the blessing is given, it can't be taken back. Listen. The old covenant, maybe there's just one blessing, just the firstborn. But see, he is the firstborn of many brethren, and he is the seed, and in his seed, in the seed, capital S seed, we are blessed. You're blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed of Almighty God, and the same blessing, the same anointing, the same power of God that was on Jesus is on you. And you don't have to perform for it. You just have to say, literally by faith, I receive it in Jesus' name. In the old covenant, you had to perform for it. It was a reward of right behavior. In the new covenant, it's a gift. And a gift is not a reward, it's a gift. If it's a reward, it's no longer a gift. But you have the gift of righteousness, the gift of the Holy Ghost. You have the gift of the blessed life. It's a gift to you. You are blessed. And it's the blessing of the Father. And you are highly advanced because of that. You just need to receive it and say, thank you, Jesus. You can't get more blessed. You can't get less blessed. You are sloppy blessed. You are sloppy blessed in every way. In every way. Poured out upon you the blessing, supernaturally advantaged. You cannot function, you cannot fully properly function without the blessing. Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of slavery, which leads again to fear of God's judgment, but you have received the spirit of adoption. See, we didn't get brought into some new religious system where, you know, it's all performance-based and we better behave ourselves or God will get mad at us. We're not brought into another system of fear and bondage and judgment. You brought into a system where you're not a servant, you're not some beggar, you are a child of God. You have been given that spirit of adoption. The Spirit has come into you, and the Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. Abba, that Spirit comes in you. The Spirit testifies with your spirit that you're a child of God, and inside of you cry out, Abba, and you know that you have an absolute unique connection to God that is yours. Abba. Abba is not a word. Abba is a unique groan of an individual. And everybody's got a unique groan. How amazing is God that there's billions of people on the planet, but every person has a unique sound. Did you know that? You, there's no one who sounds like you. Praise God for that. There's no one who sounds like you. You can put 30 kids in a nursery and have one start to scream and one mother will get up. Because a mother understands, she knows that sound. She understands there's a connection to that sound. Well, Abba is a groan. Abba is, when you groan, he knows it's you. And you have a spirit of adoption in you. You are a child of God. And you just grunt in his direction. And he's running towards you. He is your God. He is your Father. And you've been given a spirit of adoption where you can say, Daddy! And he'll come rushing in every situation, in every circumstance. Abba! Abba, here's a beautiful picture for you. Are you ready for this one? Isn't that awesome? Easy on the laughter. Isn't that awesome? Does anybody know what that is? That is me. Which one am I? Of course, I'm the only good-looking one in the frame. Right there. There I am with my little vested suit on and everything, just smiling perfectly. Amen. My mom had a very nice hairdo, eh? That's a beaut. How many had one of those back in the day? Oh, yeah. God bless you. But that was awesome. There's my dad. My dad had sideburns. As a kid, I loved my dad's sideburns. He could grow them down deep on his cheek, and they're like mutton chops, you know. And he was good at that. I'd go to get my hair cut, and I'd tell the barber, don't cut my sideburns. And he'd turn to my father and say, he doesn't have any sideburns. Just leave that part long. That's why I had sideburns. Hey. I miss my dad every day. I really do. And my dad was, someone was just always there. And my dad was in ministry. My granddad was in ministry. I'm in ministry. But boy, I'd call my dad and he'd just listen to me. He'd just listen. And you know what? The one thing my dad said that always transformed my life was, everything is going to be all right. You know, I would whine. I'd say, hey, Pastor, it's so hard. Oh, my God. Right. And then he just listened. And he'd say, is that it? And I said, I think that's it. And he'd say, listen, everything's going to be all right. And you know what? Everything is going to be all right. And I trusted my dad because he'd been in ministry for a lot longer than I had. And I'd seen my dad go through a lot of things in ministry. But I'd always seen God be faithful to him. And faithful to my family. And you know what? That meant something to me. It was a big, big deal. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Thank God for dads. Amen. Let me tell you how the Heavenly Father feels about you. You ready? Let me tell you. Listen. Let me tell you how the Heavenly Father feels about you. He's nuts about you. He's straight up nuts about you. Every time you look at him, he blushes. He is moved by your glance. He is never not affected by your presence. He is moved. Every time you turn your face towards him, he's never displeased with you. He's never angry with you. His eyes of delight are on you 24/7. And he's a good, good God. It's true. So I want to show you that in the scripture. We're going to go to a book called Zephaniah. Say Zephaniah. It's a little book in the minor prophets. If you got a Bible, you can try to find it, and that's good. But it's a little three chapters in Zephaniah, but it's a great little book. And this little book was written by Zephaniah, who was a prophet, a preacher. He was a teacher during the time of Josiah, and Josiah was the king. He started being king at 8 years old. Imagine 8 years old, you're the king. 8 years old, he was the king, but he reformed the nation and turned things around, but it started to get complacency and idolatry were the two big things he dealt with, complacency and idolatry. And there are two things that attack in every generation, even today, there are two things that will attack your zeal for God and your passion for God, complacency and idolatry. I'm not talking about that little wooden thing you put in the corner and you bow to. I'm talking about it might be parked in the garage. It might be something that you work on every week and you go to Home Depot a lot to take care of it because you worship it. Could be a relationship, could be a child, could be a lot of things. Idolatry comes in a lot of forms, but idolatry is something that always tries to take the zeal and the passion away from your relationship with God. But he was confronting complacency and idolatry. The people were complacent and idolatrous, but his message was justice and hope. His message was justice and hope. And you have to understand something about justice. God's justice is restorative. Say restorative. When God comes to you, even if there's correction in it, God always comes to you for good. For good. God always comes to restore. God doesn't come to punish. There's no punishment in God. There's no wrath in that. You do a big word study on wrath and you'll find out a child of God will never experience wrath. You should always expect to experience, and fire's not a bad thing. Fire is there to restore you, to bless you, to burn away the dross and the nonsense, to bring the perfect you into full manifestation. God's justice is restorative. He restores his people, moving them from sorrow and oppression to joy and peace. Now that is the message of Zephaniah. And Zephaniah finishes up in chapter 3, and after saying some things about, you know, the way people were and how it wasn't the way God intended, and God needed to deal with it, and Zephaniah verse 8, the second part of the passage, verse 8, he says, and let them feel the brunt of my anger, my raging wrath, my zeal is a fire that will purge and purify the earth. See, God comes, and even in that, there's a manifestation of fire, but the fire is not to destroy. The fire is to bring forth God's purpose and to bring forth a manifestation of his favor. And fire most often literally is a manifestation of God's love. God's love. So Zephaniah 3:14 now, he says, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice. I mean, there's a lot of heavy stuff in those first few verses, but the preacher's saying, now here's the point. Here's what I want to tell you. Here's what I want to leave you with. Here is the outcome. Here is what God wants to achieve and bring into manifestation. So I want you to sing, O daughter of Zion. I want you to shout, O Israel. I want you to be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. See, in the old covenant, you had to behave good to get God's blessing. In the new covenant, which you're in, every time you approach old covenant scripture, you got to interpret it through the cross. And you got to see Jesus on every page. In the new covenant, it's not behavior that gets you the blessing of God. In the new covenant, it's faith in the finished work of the cross. It's faith in the behavior of Jesus. It's bringing everything into subjection to the obedience of Christ. Not your obedience, but the obedience that Christ did. You subject everything to the performance of Jesus, and you, by faith, you become a partaker of his righteousness and his life and his passion and his joy. And so you got to do that. Sadly, if you think that now I got to wallow in self-pity and I got to crawl and do all kinds of nonsense to get the blessing of God, you're still living under the old covenant curse. But you're not. He became a curse for us so that we could walk in the free, wonderful blessing of God. And it's an awful thing when you got new covenant people trying to please God with an old covenant theology. Well, that was free. That was just tossed in there. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel is the Lord. He is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. And in that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Let your hands not be weak. The Lord your God in the midst of thee, he is mighty. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Did you hear him singing today? Did you hear him join the service today? Did you hear the song of the Lord today? Did you hear the voice of the bridegroom over the bride? Did you hear his delight with you today? He's not stoic and distant in our worship. He's with us. He's moving with us. He's spinning through the aisles. He's here. God is rejoicing in the midst of his people. He's a rejoicing God. He's a dancing God. I don't know what your picture of God is, but turn it in for the real one. Turn it in for the happy God, the joyful God, the God who dances over you, the God who rejoices over you, the God who is for you, not against you, the God who wants to bless you. Amen. We got one clap in the front row. We got one. We got another. Oh, we got another one. Oh, we got another one. Oh, we got another. Oh! We got a crouching ovation for God's blessing. God's blessing. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will rejoice. Let me read it from the NIV, verse 17 in the nearly inspired version. No, the NIV, sorry, the NIV. The Lord your God is with you. He's with you. He really, really is. I'm not kidding. He is with you every single moment, every day. The Lord your God is with you. And what is he? He is a mighty warrior who saves. Man, that got me right in my cheekbones right there. He will take great, not just delight, but he will take great delight in you. Ha! His love will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing. All right, real quick, I'm going to give you five things right here. They're right in that verse. I want you to unpack them a little bit. Listen, the Father is with you. The Father is with you. I mean, really with you. I mean, really, really, look, I'm saying really deeply engaged in your life every day. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? God the Father is deeply engaged in your life. He is, there's a scripture says, he is mindful of you. Let me turn around. His mind is full of you. He has a full mind, and what's it full of? You. He is mindful of you. He is nuts about you. He is preoccupied with you. God, his eye is always on you. It says that his eye is on you so strong that it says that you can see his your reflection in his eye. He says, you're the apple of my eye. What does that mean? You see, in the eye, if you look and you see a reflection, that's the apple. That's called the apple of your eye. See, whatever you're looking at is the apple of your eye. What is God looking at? He says, you are the apple of my eye. Ha! Ha! Me? You looking at me? Yeah. I'm preoccupied with you. I'm incredibly engaged, and you cannot push him away. He's not touchy. He's never aloof. I was sitting with a group of single ladies at the picnic yesterday. It's all right. Settle down. But we were talking, having fun, and you know, they're looking, a lot of them look praying for husbands. And I told them, call Kelly. She's really good at fixing people up. I did, but anyways. But I said, you know, I'm going to make that higher on my list. I'm going to make that a priority. But you know, one of the gals said, you know, I've actually got to the place where I'm really good with me. And I'm really enjoying where I am right now. Just me. And just me and God have been having a lot of fun. He says, the weird thing is, I actually went on a date last night and I wasn't excited about it. It was good. It was all good. And I thought, isn't that great? But you know, the most thrilling thing in my life right now is that me and God are so connected. Isn't that great? And I was going, that's good stuff. See, since I came to Impact Church, you gave me that gospel in 10 words, and I got stupid religion knocked off my life, and I realized how much God loves me. I am so content with who I am. And nobody else can fill me up, because God has filled me to overflowing. And I'm like, gosh, that was good. Do you know that he's with you? He is with you. And I tell you, if you're with him, you're missing nothing. You're lacking nothing. And you know, when you got God, all your needs are met. And that was a beautiful testimony for me. 1 Corinthians 1:17, but he who is joined with the Lord is one spirit with him. Are you joined with the Lord? Anybody? Anybody here joined with the Lord? You're one spirit with him. It cannot be distinguished between. You are so completely one with Christ, you cannot tell the difference anymore. You cannot, the greatest scientists in the world could not separate you into two separate things ever again. You are one with the Godhead. Ha! If you let that sink in, that'll heal you from a lot of stuff right there, right there, right there. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Look at this verse. Look at this verse. Hebrews 13. He, God himself, said, I will not in any way fail you. I will not in any way fail you, nor give up on you, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not. I will not, I will not, I will not. Now, the author didn't repeat that just because he wanted to repeat it. In the original text, you go back to the original Greek text, it says, I will not, I will not, I will not. A lot of translations just have one will not. And that's a mistranslation of the original text. I reckon God wanted to say it three times. I will not, I will not, I will not ever relax my grip on you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to never leave you without. You'll never be helpless, not in any degree, not in any degree. You'll never see that. I'll never relax my grip on you. Assuredly not. Is God ever going to leave you? Not. Are you ever without hope? Not. Is there ever a time when you don't have access to him? Not. Is there ever a time when he's far away? Not. Is there anything you can do to make him go away? Not. Ha! Settle down. Thank you, Bob. Point number two. Ha ha ha. Point number two, the Father's for you. He's not just with you, he's for you. He is absolutely for you. He is mighty to save. I love that. He is a warrior who's mighty to save. Is there anything you need to be saved from right now? Is there anything that's annoying you, it's aggravating you, anything creeping in your life that you wish it would go away? Is there something you feel powerless to deal with or confront? Is there something you feel like, I wish I could get saved from this? He is mighty to save. and he is for you. He is a warrior God who is going to come with violence and remove everything from you that would hinder the revelation of his goodness in you. Amen. Amen. What do you need to be saved from? He's ready to do it. He has the power to save you. Romans 8, 31 and 32. What then shall we say to these things? Since, now it says if, but there's five different ifs in the Greek language. And go study this one. This one does not mean it's conditional. This one means because of or since. Since God is for us. How many know that God is for you? I don't know. I hope he is. He is. God is for you. God is for me. If God be for me, who can be against me? Or what can be against me? What could possibly come my way that I am not equal to overpower, to deal with, to put in a headlock and just flush it? I don't know what that means, but anyways. God is for us. Who can be against us? Listen. Let's qualify this. Listen. Let me qualify it. Let me give you an example. Did he give his son for you? Did he give his own son for you? Well, yes, he did. He really did. Then, guess what? How much more along with him will he not give you all things? Anybody need some things? I wish I could get some things. God, I wish I could get some. God, give me some things. I need some things. Did he give you a son? Then just say thank you. Because your God is with you and your God is for you. Ha! Oh, please, stop. I'm trying to preach. Number three, the Father is delighted in you. I love what Glenn said. Glenn talked about his own delight. And what does that mean, Glenn? It means dance until what? Dance while you wait. Wow, delight. Delight yourself. Dance while you wait. Get wrapped up in him. You know what? God is delighted in you. God is doing a jig over you. I wake up every morning, I go, oh, settle down over there, God. My God. He said, I'm excited you woke up. What are we going to do today? Woo! I was watching you while you sleep. You're just so cute. I know. Settle down. Do you talk to God? Do you talk to him like that? Yeah, you should. You really should. Because he takes delight in you. And listen, it doesn't say just delight. It says he will take great delight in you. Great delight. Isn't that great? It's great that he takes great delight in you. Indeed, I have inscribed a picture of you on the palm of my hands. Did you know that you're tattooed on the palm of God's hand? God just kind of washes his hand and goes, ooh, look at there. There's Carl. I put him right over there. He's so cute. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it to you. It says, indeed, I have inscribed you a picture of you on the palm of my hands. Settle down. Wow. You know, if God had a wallet, there'd be a picture of you in it. True story. I keep two pictures in my wallet, just two. I was looking for one this morning. I couldn't find it. I actually started going through the garbage and everything else because I cleaned out my wallet, gave my wife all the bills. I went, oh my goodness, one of them's gone. I literally was digging through the trash this morning. And then I went back to my wallet and it was stuck to my social insurance card. But I got a picture of my second year of Bible school. We went down there and there was a little park down there and we would go swimming. It was still September, it was still kind of warm, and we'd take my daughter swimming, and then when she was done, she'd come out of the water, and I'd wrap a towel around her, and I'd just hold her. And so I got that one there. I got that. That's my little girl, and I would hold her. And just hold her. And what a beautiful place to be, just wrapped up and safe in your Father's arms. And I keep that one. Right there in my wallet. My kids don't even know. And then I got this one. It was my son's rookie card when he was playing hockey. Did anybody else get the hockey cards when your kids were playing? You know, we got to get the hockey card. So he probably wonders where it went to, but I took it. And I laminated it, and I shoved it in my wallet. And there's Dylan right there in his hockey gear. And you know, it says on the back that he scored more goals than Wayne Gretzky that year. So it was awesome. It says he was 4'6", And he was 10 years old, and he was 62 pounds. Gosh, he was a thin kid, wasn't he? A little skinny kid. He played right wing. His coach was Kevin McQueen, and he was number five. Who likes number five? I love number five because five is the number of grace. You know, why did I show you all that? I showed you that because you know what? If God has a wallet, there's a picture of you. You know, Jesus said, you fathers being evil. God, Jesus, settle down. Like, come on. You fathers being evil. Jesus, come on, come on. You're evil. Get over it. Listen, you fathers being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. But how much more will your heavenly Father give to you all things? Do you know how much he loves you? I'm just trying to get you a little picture of how much God loves you and show you that he is nuts about you. The fourth thing, number four, the Father says that he will quiet you with his love. Quiet you with his love. You know, sometimes, have you ever been in a situation where you just feel so bent out of shape, you don't know what to do, you're screaming on the inside, you're frustrated with life, and you just don't know what to do, and you feel so alone, and you can't seem to get a breakthrough? Well, here's the beautiful thing about God, is he will come alongside you right then, and you're just like, and he'll just grab you and hug you. And he'll absorb all the nonsense, and you'll squirm in his arms, but he's going to hug out of you all the nonsense. And what it means to quiet you with his love is he's going to come to you. And you might even be in that position because you did it yourself. You screwed up. You've messed up your life. And you might think he's mad at you. And here he comes. Here he comes. Here he comes. And then he gets you in a big headlock. And he pulls you to himself. And he says, everything is going to be all right. Yeah. You might need to know that right now. You might need that hug right now. You might think you're distanced from him. You might think, but he's far away. You might think you don't deserve the hug. That's all wrong. You're going to get the hug for this one reason. You are a child of God. Hey, hey, here comes a big hug and a big wet kiss. Because that's what's coming. My brothers, I've told you this before, but the most significant deliverance I ever experienced in my life was when I was, I think it was 19 or 20, and I was in Peterborough, and I was taken to jail, and then the justice of the peace said they'd let the kid go. I had to sign some sheets, and they called my brother to come pick me up, and then when he came, they said they weren't letting me out, and then they let me out, so my brother wasn't there. So the sun was coming up, and I started to walk into a sunrise. I'm walking into the sun. The sun was coming up. I'm walking to my brother's house. It wasn't that far away, so I thought I'd walk. There I was going, what have I done? How did I get here? What are you doing? Like, this is nonsense. What are you doing with your life? And I'm watching the sun come up, and I didn't realize this was going to be a rising of the sun of God's glory in my life. You know, morning lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And here I was, walked in, oh, my other brother's car's there, beautiful, both those ugly guys on that picture I showed you, both those guys are there waiting for me. I walk in the door, and I saw them, and I said, all right. Because, you know, when we wanted to work stuff out, we worked it out by tangling a little bit, a couple of shots here, a couple of booms there, and I said, let's do this, let's get it over with so I can have a nap. And they came over to me, and they grabbed me, and they hugged me, and I could feel their tears coming down the side of my face, and I went, God, I would rather you kicked me. But something happened. And while I began to sob, all of a sudden, and I literally was like, there was a disembodied spirit on the other side of the room said, what happened? And I was totally set free and totally delivered. And these things were broken off my life with a hug. And you know, when I think about that scripture, says, I will quiet you with my love. My brothers were God's hands and arms and tears. And he grabbed me and he embraced me. And with a hug, he set me free. You might think, you know, I don't deserve a hug. Well, tough luck. Maybe tough love. You're going to get a hug. And that's what he does. He will quiet you with his love. Hey, hey, the justice of God is restorative and love never fails. Last one. The Father is celebrating you. The Father is celebrating you. He's nuts about you. When he goes on fishing trips, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they're bragging about you. They're talking about how super-duper wonderful you are and how smitten they are with you. It says he rejoices over you with singing. The word rejoice is the word sus. It's a verb that means to display joy, to leap, to spin, and to spring. Like, God's just like, I am delighted in you, says the Lord. He is spinning. He is jumping. He is leaping because you drive him crazy. He's nuts about you. I wake up in the morning. He's, whoa, Carl, what do you want to do today? Couldn't wait for you to wake up. He is spinning, delighting over you. Rina is a ringing cry, a shrill sound, a shout, a proclamation of joy. That's the word singing. They translated that word as singing. And it's more like, hey, wow! God, settle down. What's going on? I'm going to spend the day with Carl. He's going to watch NASCAR, and I'm going to sit with him and watch the cars go round and round. And go, you really like this, don't you? Woo! I tell you, God's nuts about you. He loves you. I pray that this would creep into your spirit in a big way. Isaiah 62:5 says, as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so God will rejoice over you. You know, I was at the wedding there for Jovanna playing the keyboard, and she married Harrison there. And, was, you know, I'm standing, the privilege I have as a pastor is most often I'm the first one to see the bride. And I'm there, and I'm looking, and then they usually come in the room, and I get a nod that they're ready, and they come in, and then I get to say, everyone, please rise. And it's so great because the bride just came in the room. Everyone rise. And then, you know, everyone turns. They get their cameras. There's not a single face that's not covered with a smile. There's not a single person that's not just smitten a little bit by how amazing this moment is. I don't know what that's like, but the bride gets to come down that aisle and be the object of devotion. And everybody wowed. And the bridegroom just kind of, oh, God, this is good. He rejoices over you like the bridegroom over his bride. He's nuts about you. He is just crazy about you. Who don't smile when the bride comes in the room? 1 John 3, verse 1. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. And that's what we really are. That's what we really are. It's a true story. So you are a specially loved child of God, of your Heavenly Father. I want you to let that fill you with confidence. It fills me with confidence. I am confident every day of my life because I know who I am. I know where I came from. I know how much He loves me. And I pray that you would be confident in that. Also, let it heal in you. And today, if you've got a father wound, today, if you think about your own father, there's something there. There's something happened or something's gone wrong in your life, your world, and you've got a father wound. I pray right now that you would let the revelation of the Heavenly Father touch your father wound. That you would realize that I don't have any real needs at all because God is my Father. And let that father wound be healed so that it will release in you His love. Release His love in you and release His love through you. Amen.